Be prepared. Be prepared. Well, that's the Boy Scout motto. And I learned that lesson long ago, long before I was a Boy Scout, long before I earned the rank of Eagle Scout. I learned to be prepared from my mother. My mother will bring a jacket along always, just in case the weather turns cooler. Even on an 85-degree day in July, she'll have that jacket along with her just in case the weather cools down. In our family, we would go on family hikes up in the mountains or in the woods, and my mom always had a backpack filled with extra food, extra clothing, first aid supplies. She was ready. My brother, who's adopted, he was born in Korea, and he was trying to get into Canada one day, crossing the border years ago to compete in a tennis tournament. And they stopped him at the border, asked where he was born, and he said Korea. And, you know, it started long conversation with the border people wanting to know whether they should let him into Canada. Probably the same coming back into the United States. Well, they looked through the station wagon he was in, their family station wagon, and they said, "What's that military-style footlocker in the back of the station wagon?" And he said, "Well, that's an emergency kit." They said, "Well, that's a pretty large emergency kit." And he said, "You don't know my mother." Be prepared. It does come in handy. I learned those lessons well. And we, as a family, when we go on vacations and when we go on hikes, you know, we are prepared even for snow in June. Do you usually go prepared for snow in June? Well, we were at Yellowstone Park, and it was a good thing we were prepared for snow in June because it snowed a good 6 inches, in some places over a foot of snow, and closed many of the roads at Yellowstone Park that early June, an early June snowstorm. What most people don't understand is that Yellowstone Park, almost the whole park is above 7,000 feet in elevation. And even in the summertime, you can get snow at 7,000 feet. But we were ready. We had our warm winter coats, our warm winter gloves and hats. The rest of the people that we saw out there that day were shivering in their newly purchased hoodies that said Yellowstone Park that they got from the visitors' gift store. They were all shivering, and we were all comfortable in our winter coats and hats. And we were prepared. We were ready. The Apostle Peter was never a Boy Scout. He didn't grow up in my family, but he does tell us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, always be prepared. Always be prepared. For what? Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. We're going to unpack that today. Other translations say, always be ready. Always be ready. So that's the title of our message today, and I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. I invite you to turn there with me. If you don't have a Bible of your own, grab the one in the pew rack. The page number is listed in your bulletin. And we're going to begin there with verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. And give it just a tiny bit of context here. It says, finally, all of you. Well, just previous to this, he's addressing some specific areas concerning slaves or servants. And then he talks to wives, and then he talks to husbands. And now he's talking to all of you, all believers in Jesus Christ. And so he says this, 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 8, I read in Jesus' name. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Just pause there just a minute. That is a quote from the Old Testament, from Psalm 34. And Peter throws it in there to say, here's some promises. If we're going to be fearing God and giving him the proper respect, these are things we're going to do. And the promise is that God's going to hear our prayers. So we'll go from there. Verse 13. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to understand what's being spoken here today. And help us to understand it in a way that we have this aha moment, that we say, oh yeah, yeah, I can do that. Lord, we can't do that on our own. It's impossible what you're telling us to do here. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can do it as you come into our hearts and lives. And as we set apart Christ in our hearts, as we sanctify him, consider him holy. Lord, you can do great and mighty things through us. So help us to understand this and then to apply it, to live it out, and to see your promises come true for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's three things we should be ready for that are in this passage. We should be ready, first of all, to live in harmony with one another. He says, all of you live in harmony. That literally means be united with one mind. That doesn't mean we all should think exactly alike, but we should be united in Christ, in Jesus Christ, live in harmony with one another, be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. And the reverse of that is not to be living in disharmony, disunity, being unloving, uncompassionate, and proud. So, first of all, he says, if we are going to be living for Jesus Christ in this world, we are going to have to be living united together and ready to be able to share this good news of Jesus Christ. We're going to get to that part. But first of all, it says we got to start by living in harmony, being united as believers in Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 17, Jesus prays that all believers, including us, because he prays for his disciples and he prays for those who will believe in their message, that's us, that we may all be one, even as he is one with the Father, that he and us and we in him, that the world may believe that the Father sent him. And so if the world's going to believe, we've got to be united. We've got to live in harmony with one another. So we should always be ready to be living in harmony, being sympathetic, that means feeling each other's pains and needs and concerns, love as brothers and sisters, love as family, being compassionate and being humble, not being proud. Okay, the second thing we're supposed to be ready for, always be ready to give a blessing. Now, there's a lot of times we don't feel like blessing other people. A car cuts us off. And I've told you this before. I'm driving with my mother out in Washington State when I go to visit her. And I saw that idiot. You know, he just cut right in there. He didn't even signal. You know, he's going to cause an accident. You know that feeling, right? Not road rage, but, you know, borderline. Ugh. And my mother chimes in. She says, just bless him. Just bless him. That's what I do. Okay, Lord, bless him. You know he needs to be blessed. He's going to cause an accident somewhere down there. You better bless him and help him drive better. No, bless. It says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. God wants us to bless others because he has already blessed us in Jesus Christ, and one day we're going to have this wonderful blessing that we're going to inherit. This is chapter 3 of 1 Peter. In chapter 1 of 1 Peter, he talks about this living hope that we've been called to and this inheritance that is laid up for us in heaven. And so we've got a blessing coming, and God wants us just to give out blessings now. When he called Abraham, he says, now I've called you, and I'm going to bless you so that through you all the nations in the world will be blessed. So God wants us to always be ready to give a blessing. A lot of times it's not easy. But Jesus said, I say to you, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. When we lived in the parsonage and there used to be a telephone across the street, a payphone, maybe you don't remember what those things are, a payphone out there, and there was some lady that got out of the bar and she was yelling at somebody at the other end, and it was F you and F, oh, it's just awful language. And I finally got up and went across the street and said, you can't be out here yelling those obscenities. And she said, F you. And I said, fine, you can go talk to the police. And she goes on the phone, this blankety blank pastor is going to call the cops on me and blankety blank blank. You know, Jesus said, bless her. Bless her. She probably needed a blessing. Bless those who curse you. That's a hard thing for us to do. Pray for those who mistreat you. Romans chapter 12, verse 14 says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. And then verse 21 says, and do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So always be ready to give a blessing, not repaying evil for evil or insult with insult. The third thing, and this is the most important aspect that we want to look at today, is always be ready to give an answer. Verse 13 says, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be frightened, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared. Always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. We're going to get to that hope. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame for their slander. Well, the context of this passage, and indeed the whole of 1 Peter, the whole book of 1 Peter, is suffering for doing what is right. Peter's main focus in the whole book is about Christians suffering for doing what's right. We don't like to suffer, and we don't like to suffer for doing what's right, and we get pretty offended if we're doing what's right and people are taking us to task for it and even persecuting us for it. But at the time that Peter wrote 1 Peter, the church in Rome and in other parts of the Roman Empire were undergoing persecution under the Roman Emperor Nero. And in fact, it was a persecution that would end up costing Peter his life. Peter was executed under the Roman Emperor Nero. And Christians at that time were living in a hostile environment. They were living in a hostile environment. And we may feel hesitant to share the hope that we have in Jesus Christ because of the hostility we face in our society today. You know, we may not want to get into all that and have people come back at us in all sorts of ways. So this is pertinent to us. Are we fearful? Are we fearful to give an answer to the hope that we have in Jesus Christ? Well, we're supposed to always be ready to give an answer, not being fearful or rude or disrespectful. Well, let's unpack that just a bit. Who is going to harm you, verse 13, if you are eager to do good, but even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear and do not be frightened. You might notice that that's in quotation marks. And it is because Peter is quoting from Isaiah chapter 8. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be in dread of them. And what's the alternative? What's the alternative to not being fearful? But, he says, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Set apart Christ as Lord. What does that mean? It literally is sanctify Christ as Lord, or consider him holy in your heart. Set apart Christ as Lord in your hearts. And that means that you have always put Jesus Christ front and center in your life. The word sanctify means to, as the NIV translated, to set apart or to consecrate. But in this context, it also gives the connotation of giving the primary place, that Christ is going to have the primary place of adoration and exaltation and worship in our lives. And we put Christ and have him in the right place of our life. And when we truly fear him, in fact, this is an allusion to, again, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 13. He already quoted verse 12, and now 13 says, but sanctify Jehovah the Lord as holy. Him you're to fear. Him you're to dread. So he is really, when he says sanctify Christ the Lord, he's taken an Old Testament promise and he's given it to us today. And he says, you know, we give him rightful place in our hearts, then we can face anything. John MacArthur in his commentary writes this, believers who sanctify Christ set him apart from all others as the sole object of their love, reverence, loyalty, and obedience. They recognize his perfection and magnify his glory. They extol his preeminence and submit themselves to his will, all the while understanding that sometimes that submission to Christ includes suffering. This honoring of Christ as Lord is not an external thing, but it is in our hearts as true worshipers, even if we do face unjust suffering. That submission and trust in the perfect purposes of the sovereign Lord yields courage, boldness, and fortitude to triumph through the most adverse situations. Right now we're living in a hostile environment, and 1 Peter, the book of 1 Peter, ought to be of great encouragement to us. So what do we do with our fear? Well, Psalm 118, verse 6 says, the Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Or Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord will be kept safe. So sanctify, set apart Jesus Christ as Lord in your hearts, and always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that you have. What's the hope that we have? Well, in Colossians, it tells us that hope is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is what we are looking forward to, what we are putting our trust in for the future and for our eternity. Our hope comprises all that we expect from God because of our faith in Jesus Christ. It all starts there. We can't sanctify or set apart Christ as Lord if he's not Lord of our hearts and lives. It is receiving the blessing God has given us in the forgiveness of our sins by what Jesus did on the cross. It's receiving this gospel, this good news. And if we have this good news, then we've got this hope. And if we've got this hope, we got to share it. We got to be ready to share that hope that is in us through Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:21, back to the first chapter of Peter, it says, through him, you believe in God. Through Jesus, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him so that your faith and hope are in God. That's what we share as an answer. Now, if you take your handout, it has at the bottom about what is Explore God? And I give you an answer. And so I'm doing this because people will ask you. They didn't ask you this week. They may not ask you this coming week. But sometime between now and January, I guarantee you somebody will say, do you know anything about this Explore God? And you're going to say, yes. In fact, I've been carrying this little thing my pastor gave me. Explore God is about having spiritual conversations around seven big questions of life, like, does life have a purpose? Is there a God? Why does God allow pain and suffering? And then you say, would you like to join a group to discuss these and other spiritual questions you have? If they say yes, then you invite them to your house or to the church or to somebody else's house to have that group discussion, Explore God discussion. If they say no, then you just say, you know, I'd really encourage you to go to the exploregod.com website. There's a lot of good answers to questions you might have. A lot of good information there that can help you on your spiritual journey. Everybody's on a spiritual journey. They may not know it, but they're on a spiritual journey. And we don't know where they are in that spiritual journey. The important thing is, don't make it hard. Don't make it complicated. Make it as simple as the answers the kids gave us. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Keep it simple. Jesus said, when you get arrested and get hauled before the authorities, that's really hostile. He says, don't prepare in your mind what you're going to say, for the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. The most important way to be prepared is make sure you have Christ set apart in your heart. You've got things right with Jesus Christ. And if you have Jesus living within you, the Holy Spirit is in there, and he's going to give you the words to say. It's going to come out in ways you don't think. But don't worry so much about being prepared with the right words. Just be prepared with the right Savior. In 1962, a great and learned theologian, Karl Barth, close to the end of his life, when asked how he would summarize the essence of the millions of words that he had published. A brilliant man, brilliant theologian, one of the great theologians of the 20th century. And they said, okay, great and learned professor, how would you summarize all the books you've written? And he replied, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it really is simple. It really is simple that Jesus loves me, and I know because he died on a cross for me. The Bible tells me, and I've experienced it, that he's given me a new life. He's forgiven my sins. He's given me eternal life. And that's where my hope is. I'm not hoping in my own achievements. I'm not hoping in anything else, my church membership or being a pastor. My only hope is in Jesus. Oh, Lord God, if there's anyone here today that's hopeless, that doesn't have the hope in Jesus, who hasn't sanctified Jesus Christ as Lord in their hearts, hasn't set him apart, consecrated themselves, so that Jesus has that first place in our lives. Oh, Lord, today may they put him there. May today, by your grace, they can respond to this gospel message and clearly and simply cry out to you, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I need you as my Savior. I believe you died for me on the cross. I believe you paid the full price for my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart and into my life as you've promised to do, to be my Savior and Lord. And Lord, I want to begin to live for you, just as I'm convinced you now live in me. And I know that one day, because you rose from the dead, and because you live, one day I will live with you forever. Oh, Father, may that hope be ready on our lips, always ready to give that answer to anyone who asks. In Jesus' name, amen.